wherever you may be, at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time for Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and tonight's radio program is going to feature an in-studio performance and interview with R&B jazz vocalist Lauren Dukes and guitarist Nick Bird. They are half of the Lauren Dukes Band. And I'll tell you, there is something that you're going to want to hear if you love R&B, you love jazz, you love soul, you love gospel. This gal can do it all. I've seen her, heard it, and we're going to hear it tonight. Same things as a new studio recording. We'll be debuting it on radio for the first time, and we'll be talking about the future and the past and how she got to where she is. All after your headlines here. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM on the dial, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, for a little program we call Midwest Beat. It's all about original music, and tonight we've got some great guests. We've got Lauren Dukes in the studio, we've got Nick Bird in the studio, and they are with the Lauren Dukes Band. They are half of the Lauren Dukes Band, in fact. And tonight we're going to talk about her original music. And we're going to talk about where she came from, where she's going. We're going to hear a recording of one of her first original songs, and we're going to play some stuff live in studio. In fact, let's play a little music live right now from one of our guests. Sounding sweet on that guitar. That is Mr. Nick Bird. Nick is a former guest here. He's been on before. We've introduced him to the listening audience. Nick has been playing guitar almost as long as he could walk. He's been a member of various bands throughout the region. He's played everywhere in all different styles. And that was you playing what? Was that just some noodling or was that an actual song?
Well, you said play some blues, so I just said
so you just played what you feel. Yeah. Play what you feel.
That was it.
All right. Now, when you're on stage, Nick, I've seen you play really intricate stuff, and I've heard you just kind of pull back. And I bring that up because when you were with Lauren the other day, I know how intense you can be with your playing, but you kind of, it seemed like we're holding back to put the voice up front as the guitar player. And a lot of guitar players drive the bands.
Right.
When you're in a situation with someone like Lauren, how does that affect your style or your intent when you're playing?
Well, I mean, that takes priority. So, you know, trying to get more and more maturity, you try to become a better accompanist, you know. I think that's an ongoing thing. It's not like forefront to a person that doesn't play music as much, but it's something that I'm I'm still a novice at, so you just always try to get better at it because that's music, you know, is lending and trying to, you know, do things that aren't, you know, I think it's easier to shine and add things and be busy. So, you know, the older you get, I guess to wrap it up, it's like the more you want to have something that functions, you know? So it's kind of like that.
Is trying to make the puzzle piece fit into the puzzle at hand,
right,
so to speak.
Yeah. Like I said, I like that word lending. My buddy Glenn said that to me, and I said, that's a good point. You know, it's like, if it doesn't lend to it, and, you know, all the elders I've grown up with, they say, it don't matter if George Benson and Carlos Santana and Herbie Hancock, they don't have a meeting of the minds or what's going to happen. It just doesn't make sense, you know? So
it can get confusing if that would happen.
Less is more sometimes.
Exactly.
And I'm definitely sometimes a more is more, and someone has to tell me, hey, that was a little bit much. So it happens.
We've got Nick Bird with us for the duration of the show. He's going to be playing that guitar a little more. We also have Lauren Dukes, the namesake and vocalist and songwriter, lyricist of the band, the Lauren Dukes Band. And we're going to feature some original stuff tonight off of CD. And we're going to do a few covers as well. Now, Lauren, tell us a little bit about how you came to this world of music. I just kind of turned on to you about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you obviously have a lot of chops. So where did you come from? Where have you been hiding?
Oh, under a rock in Chicago. I'm a South Side Chicago girl. And growing up in churches and in my family, even though there aren't that many musicians, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of creative types.
Okay.
So we come up with a tradition of appreciating art. And I remember my earliest forms, like my earliest encounters with music being, you know, 3 and 4 years old, being in basement parties, being at parents' house, being at uncles and aunts' houses, and getting to, like, just standing in awe of their record collections.
Okay.
But nobody letting you touch it because, right. Well, I'm 3 and 4.
Right.
But there was one aunt. She actually just recently passed. Her name was Sadie Johnson, was the only auntie that used to let me play with her vinyl. And so I started immediately. I would run, go to her house, say hello, give the hugs and kisses, and run straight to her record player and put on. I played Rapture out. Rapture, I would play Anita Baker and Otis Redding, like back to back to back to back. And then later on, just my mother was, she could have been a tiger mom, but she didn't. But she did make sure, she said, okay, there will be certain art forms that you will be naturally exposed to on the South Side of Chicago, being in a black family, being in a church, being, you know, in a particular bubble.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were good about making sure. They said, you're going to know about the things that are probably typical for your region or your culture, your upbringing, and also the things outside of that.
Okay.
So my mother sent me.
That's a really healthy perspective.
Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate her for doing that. Well, both of them for doing that. So she put us, me and my sister, she put us in music. She put me in choir. She'd have me audition for any.
Was she a singer herself?
Yes.
Okay.
But she's very shy. My mother could sing, just wouldn't do it in public. So it would be lullabies at night.
Mm-hmm.
And the first songs I grew up singing in church were taught to me by her. And actually, she just had a birthday. Happy heavenly birthday to my mom, Betty Blue. And I was like, come on, Ma, you have such a good stage name. Use that. her nickname was Betty Blue.
Wow.
And I said, oh, you were just prime. You should have been a blues singer, woman. But she would take me to ballets, take me to operas, anything going on in, like, cultural centers. Or she took me, like, the last thing she took me to, I think before I got to high school, was she took me to see Aida, and I was bawling my eyes out.
Wow.
So she made sure that we were just in deep in music and art and.
So are you still a vinyl fan? Do you still gravitate to the record player?
Yes. Do you? Okay, the couple of times you've had me actually perform at your record bin.
You stole records.
I told you not to say.
Gosh,
you're a terrible, terrible wheel man. No, I salivate. I'm looking like, okay, don't blow your whole pay on the vinyl. But actually,
it's okay if you do, though. It really is.
It's like, I just pay hard records. But it's, you can't beat that vinyl sound, no matter how much something is remastered, and it sounds crisp, and you have the clarity, and you can hear every word. It's just something about
that
feel.
With the grittiness is missing.
Yeah, and
a little pop, a little clack.
That's my favorite. Even when probably creating the songs that I maybe gravitate towards more have kind of a grit, an edge, a dirtiness to it.
Mm-hmm. So you were playing records at 3, 4 years old. When did you start singing?
4.
4?
Started singing at
family
church.
Family events?
Yes.
Were you the one that said, okay, come on, Lauren, everyone wants to hear you sing? We've heard that with a lot of artists. It's like, yeah, here I am. It's like being, you know, being the trained seal. Bring her out and let her catch a fish, you know, or whatever. But I've heard that from a lot of upcoming artists that said, you know, I got my start because they used to almost embarrass me into standing on a stool and singing.
Mm-hmm. It's,
so was it kind of like that?
Yes, I was the youngest of 4, so I was born a ham. I was like, what? There's more than 5 people in the room. I'll sing.
Oh, it wasn't forcing you then. You were the one they had to get the cane out for and pull you off.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and it's the funny thing I'll joke about with my sister, who's also a singer. had just the naturally seasoned voice from the beginning. Like, always had this.
Older or younger?
Older.
Okay.
I'm the youngest.
Oh, you're the youngest. Okay.
Even though I don't act like it. But don't tell her I said that. Yeah, she had the naturally better voice, but you couldn't get her up to sing at all. But I think it just, people learned early on, I was the youngest, and mm-hmm. the people pleaser, so I was like, okay. You only had to really ask me once, so.
So when did you know this is what you wanted to do for a living?
At 8 years old. I'd been singing in church already, but 8 years old, I was watching WTTW, and I was watching the Nutcracker.
Okay.
And I want to say it was the Nutcracker. And there was a scene in the first act where you, it's like snowfall, and you hear these voices in the background, like, la, 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 la. And I remember just standing entranced and listening. And I would get that look in my eye, maybe a single tear roll down. My mother, she noticed I was mm-hmm. paying attention, and she found out who the voices were in that scene. It was the Chicago Children's Choir. And so I said, I had no idea. It was 100-plus voices sounding like one.
Right.
I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to sing. I want to sing in that. And so, I found out who they were and how you had to get in. And then
So you sang with the Chicago Children's Choir?
Yeah.
That's pretty prestigious.
Yeah, it was a great time. It was.
Did you realize how cool it was to be a part of that? I mean, outside of just wanting to sing, but to know that that was a big step?
When I started to look into it, because my parents weren't going to allow me to just haphazardly jump into anything, mm-hmm. because they saw also it's quite expensive to get into that organization or to stay a part of it, even with the fundraising. Mm-hmm. It's just when you get to the touring and that aspect of it, it can be quite expensive. So they said, okay, if you really want to do this, you look into it, you make sure you really want to. And so in the process of researching, I found out, oh my gosh, this is an international mm-hmm. entity, and they have been around for a long time, and they're from their directors and their trainers and their instructors are top-notch and legit.
When did you join? What age?
I joined at 10.
And how long were you with them?
I was there until I was almost 13. I had to. Okay. I moved out of Chicago at 13, and so I had to leave.
What's the one lesson that you took from there that you still use today?
Goodness. Oh, gosh, because it's so much. You know what, no matter what, have the discipline to take care of your first instrument.
Okay.
It's, as humans, you know, especially like, you know, adults, life happens, we don't get as much sleep, stress, work, and just basic, yeah, the basic thing was like, all right, take care of your instrument. And then I learned that lesson the hard way again. Like, it kicked me in the butt last year. I had to go to a throat specialist, and mm-hmm. I'd been diagnosed with vocal nodes, and went to Dr. Bastian, one of the best throat specialists around. And funny thing, that what got me back to performance level mm-hmm. was implementing exercises that I learned in Chicago Children's Choir. And
so you kind of got away from that, and you paid the price for it.
Paid the price, yeah. So it's like, oh, yeah, who knew?
A lot of people don't realize you actually have to sing in a certain way to protect your voice. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can sing indefinitely if you do it right.
If you do it right. You even have to be conscious of the way you speak. I also have a day job that I'm talking all day. And then I said, oh, gosh, it'll come to a certain point in the day where, especially if I've been on the clock for like 3 hours, I'm like, oh, crap, stop talking that way. You said it. So
wow.
You find myself like doing like vocal warm-ups at work to do my freaking day job. So, yes, it's lessons I learned in Chicago Children's Choir I still do implement. And then plus, it was just I got the most probably classical training. And
okay.
I loved that whenever we were doing a big show, and we got to sing in every major language on the planet, they would really emphasize, they would have us like go through, all right, learn the pronunciation, we had to learn a different style of music when we sung songs from China, mm-hmm. because the way their notes are structured, like, they are completely different in America. Mm-hmm. And that was just, it was the coolest thing. It's like, okay, we might move in half steps.
It's kind of like their writing. It goes different than ours.
Yeah, I had to learn how to move in quarter steps for their music. I was like, oh, this is different.
Wow.
So, yeah, I still value that time I had in that choir.
How do you describe what you do? I hear a lot of jazz in your voice.
Funny, because that is the genre I do least.
Really?
Yeah.
But a lot of people call you blues, and I hear more R&B jazz than in an Al Jarreau, Anita Baker style, where it could definitely and is definitely R&B, but also has those jazz tendencies. And when I hear you sing, that's what I think of. But I don't think of blues as much, and I'm a blues fan.
Yeah.
But they call you blues. Do you consider yourself blues?
No, there's goodness. I love the blues, and also, again, come from Southside Chicago. That was a major part of the musical upbringing. But no, I don't. I would love to sing it more. I've gotten the chance to work with Kenny Kenzie, and Mojo Daddy, so, mm-hmm. and I had the best time doing a gig with them. So I would love to do it more. But no, I don't think of myself as blues. Or when someone asks what box I put myself in, mm-hmm. I kind of cheat and say, well, I'm multi-genre.
But it's true, you are.
I don't necessarily want to be able to fit in a box. And plus, the jobbing bands, when you're the jobbers, know you have to really make yourself marketable. And if you pay me, it's the right. I'll sing you shoot from Old McDonald to.
we're gonna hear that tonight, folks. Yes, we are.
It's gonna be a continuous loop of Mary had a little lamb.
Speaking of folks that do all styles, we've got Andy Sutton on the phone. Andy is the drummer in the Lauren Dukes Band. He's the leader of the Sutton Jazz Trio. He's part of Stop Drop Rewind that does the alternative pop stuff. A guy that wears many, many hats, not only on stage, but off as a music entrepreneur. Andy, what is it? Are you there, first of all?
Yeah, me and Olar are here together.
Oh, okay. Oh, hey, how are you?
Good.
All right. I didn't know you were both there. I just got the lead that you were on the phone. Excellent. We got the whole band here, folks. So what would you call Lauren as far as a vocalist? I mean, because you do cover all the different styles of drumming, and just like Nick covers all the different styles in guitar, from rock to blues to jazz to whatever. How would you determine what you are when you are the Lauren Dukes Band?
That's an interesting question, because that's more of like a marketing question, I feel like. I think we've talked about this type of thing on the radio before, but like when I'm trying to market or make music, like I try not to think about that, because I just try to go where the music wants you to go. And if you put yourself in that type of box, then you're like, then you start putting boundaries up. Like, well, we can't do this because it wouldn't be what we said it was, right?
Right.
Which isn't always the best type of thing. But, you know, like Lauren has a lot of R&B in her. She's got a lot of soul. She's got a lot of jazz. You know, like when we brought Nick in, like there's a couple of licks on some of these songs that are very like classic rocker. Like there's some of things that are like a little bit like country, like modern country-esque type of thing, you know, like modern pop type of music writing. Like, and whatever works for the situation is what's best for me. In terms of marketing, I think like you could really just boil it down to like pop and R&B, you know, and not get too crazy with it.
Okay, all right. Let's play something to give the listeners an idea. Why don't we do something live first, and then we'll do the original off the studio. We'll talk about that since we have all the guys here. But let's give the listeners here at Lakeshore an idea of what you sound like. Now, again, this is half the band, folks. This is guitar and voice. We do have the bass and the drums rhythm section on the phone, but I don't think they can contribute too much to this.
Aww.
So,
we're in the middle of our rehearsal right now, so we got to get going a little bit, but we just wanted to say that, you know, we're real proud to work with Lauren, and she's got great songwriting skills, and, you know, we're going to do the thing.
That's right.
All right. Now, Ola, let me get something from you here. You, the bass is a really powerful instrument in the R&B world, and you are amazing when you were on stage with Lauren.
Yes, he is.
What, how did you come to join this outfit, and what do you think your role is in this? Again, like Nick was talking about, not overplaying. A lot of times you listen to a group like Brothers Johnson or something, the bass is like so prominent. With you, you also step up and you know when to step back. It's kind of a gift that Nick was talking about. Tell us a little bit about your role in this band and how you came to it, and then we'll let you go.
Oh, yeah. Just like Andy said, the music, I mean, most of the music is, I mean, it's written or arranged in such a way without boundaries, you know. I mean, you don't want to box it in completely R&B, completely pop, or something like that. So most of the time when I'm playing also, when it comes to that arrangement, I just have to shift my mind, go with the music, whatever role I have to fill up there, I got to just step it up and with a kind of the music she's got, her compositions are really, really great compositions. It requires a kind of a solid kind of a laid-back groove most times, just give it that solid background to just keep pushing it forward with the drums most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if I have to just do some little feels, like Handy wants me to do this other little feels in this other song, he just wants me, I just have to do that little feel because... Everybody know what feels I'm talking about.
So, yes. Yeah.
And that's how it is. I mean, it's just really, really a nice getting good people with similar minds together and creating something like magic like that. So it's such a good privilege working with her, too. And she's a fantastic human being. Very, very good human
your
being.
Checks in the right. mail, man.
Last question, and this we'll address it to both of you on the phone as well as those in the studio, and that is, we are seeing Lauren step out from the role of cover singer in a very popular Chicagoland band that does the corporate scene in the festivals and trying to step out on her own. And, of course, when I say on her own with her own music, that incorporates the three of you because you're all part of the creative process. So what is a song like when you're creating a song for Lauren? How does it work? What's the chemistry with the four of you?
Well, the process kind of goes, basically what happened is Lauren has had all these songs that were arranged for like a different band that she had like 3 or 4 years ago, I believe.
Mm,
or is that right,
six,
Lauren?
No,
six, seven years ago.
Yeah, 6, 7 years ago. And so like, you know, my thing this year has been trying to produce original material from people that I really believe in and material I like. So Lauren came by and she came by with just vocal melodies and lyrics. And that's kind of the first step of the process for this project is like there needs to be a vocal melody and a lyric originated by Lauren. And then, you know, me and Ola and actually Chris Lone was first bassist on this project who was harmonizing some of the stuff. But me and Ola's role at that point is Ola's role is basically to harmonize those lyrics and put chords to them. And my role is to arrange everything so that like all the parts make sense together and it has a purpose by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we brought Nick in, Nick really filled a really nice role in that he was able to generate some really tasteful parts. Mm-hmm. for those some like guitar parts and like melody lines and stuff. Mm-hmm. That was kind of missing from just the harmonization from just chords, you know?
Right.
And so that's kind of how all this came to be about. You know, that's how the whole process has been working so far.
Okay. These songs, well, the ones I heard you perform Saturday and the one we're going to play in a little bit here, there's a lot going on. Nick and I were talking off air about there's a lot going on in those songs, but they don't sound overplayed or over busy. Is it
right.
When you're producing, when you're putting this together, how do you know when it's done so you don't overplay or overproduce?
Oh, you have to feel it, you know, like, and I think that's what a lot of people leave out from when they're trying to produce their own material is they're wondering if it's good enough or if it's enough. And sometimes they wonder if they overplayed. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that you kind of combat that is you kind of step back from being a musician. There's a difference between being a musician and being an audience member or a listener. Right.
Right.
So like if you kind of take the role of the listener, while you're listening to the material, you'll know, you know. Okay. And that sounds like a weird, like a metaphysical thing, like you'll just feel it or you'll know. But like that's how art works, you know. It's like as the audience feels what you're doing, so you should be able to too.
What's the status right now on the recordings? I know that the song that we're going to play is still basically in a demo form, so to speak. We're going to get to that in just a little bit in the show. Same things as the song we're talking about. It's kind of a demo form, but it's something you feel is comfortable to play.
So that song specifically, I went through with one of my drum teachers was a producer for Lauryn Hill. And I got on the phone with him back in June, and I went through and like we went did a Zoom call, and he showed me, like, we went through each track, and he showed me, like, you know, because I've been doing live sound for a long time, but I haven't been doing recordings that long, you know? So I've been learning some of that, and you know, he went through each track with me and produced it really well, and it sounds really good. You can hear everything on the recording. We're going through that similar process with the other songs right now, and then we're going to send it out to get mixed and send out to get some a few guest artist spots as well.
Okay.
But we don't want to rush it either, you know.
So do we have a timetable? Anyone?
No, that is what's so beautiful about the process. A lot of these songs, especially lyrically, were written 6 or 7 years ago, and if everything, you know, came out right, then it doesn't need to be like, oh, this has to be finished by then or else it's not going to be relevant anymore, or the message isn't going to make sense, or the musicality is they're going to be doing something different musically. No, it's let's take our time and make sure we got the right feel, make sure it's perfect, or don't want it to sound overproduced or anything, but just we want the right feel. So no, I don't have a timetable.
And I feel like that's the mistake that a lot of other artists make as well. Sorry to talk over you, Lauren, but another mistake that other artists make as well is they feel like they have to rush things out and like be it by a certain time. But you know, this is a brand new project, and like when things are ready, they're ready. Like I'm optimistically hoping to have everything ready by summer of 2021.
Okay.
That's like my goal. Like I do have a goal, but like I'm still, you know, I'm flexible on that goal as to when we have the right product, because when you have the right product, it doesn't matter when it comes out, right? People care about it when it comes out.
So is it going to be an EP or a full length? I mean, I think you guys played 4 songs original the other day, if my count was right.
It's probably going to be an EP.
EP.
You know, like full length. We've talked about this Stop Drop Rewind with you, but like full, as you remember, like full length stuff doesn't really do very well these days. You know?
Although vinyl is coming back and it does well on vinyl.
That is true.
Oh, really?
Oh. That's true.
EPs don't sell as well, and singles really don't sell very well on vinyl, but albums are coming back, so you may want to tweak that thought a little bit.
This would be a good project to do vinyl with, actually.
It would, because this style of music has a certain warmth that you want to have in those grooves as that needle rides them.
I agree, yeah.
Well, sure. Thanks, Tom. Back to the drawing board, Andy. Let's go.
So, all right. Well, I know you guys got to go. I know also, Ola, that you have a solo project that you're working on with Andy, and I welcome you when you're ready. You have a seat here and a microphone here to share your music as well.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Definitely, definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. You guys have a great evening.
You too. So thanks, Tom.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Nick Burr is actually getting his solo stuff out, too.
Nick's got a solo, too? Yeah. How do you have time to work on your album if everybody's doing their solo things?
I played on Ola's thing a little bit, too. So.
I did a tune on Ola's. Whatever.
Wow. It's a family affair, as Sly would say.
I just figured I'm a cook in the kitchen.
There you go. Well, let's see what we can get cooking in this kitchen. What do you guys want to do live?
Okay, we'll start. We've been talking about originals. We'll start with a classic cover that we kind of put a little...
Yeah, and then we can listen to the recording, if that's cool. Yeah, heck yeah. Yeah.
You made my soul love burning fire. Getting to be my one desire. getting to be all that matters to me. I hope and pray each day I live, little more love I'll have to give. A little more love that's devoted and true. All I do is think about you. All I do is think about you. About you, and all I do is think about you. Well, baby, just suppose I would happen to cross your mind, and by some chance a girl like me you've really been trying to find. Let me tell you, boy, I'm hoping. It would be that you should discover you feel like me, that you should discover this dream is for two. Let me tell you, boy, I light a candle every day and pray that you'll always feel this way, and pray that our love will forever be new. All I do is think about you. All I do, baby, is think about you. All I do, oh, is think about you. Oh, and all I do, baby,
listening to Lakeshore Public Radio. Lauren Dukes and Nick Bird, half the Lauren Dukes band. And that was Anita, wasn't it?
That one's Stevie.
Stevie
Wonder, yeah.
No, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's something about when I get around Nick and Andy and Ola, we'll take a song like, how can we groove this out? And it just...
Well, we definitely rehearsed this. But you know, it, which is so cool. It's like, yeah. You know, we said, what's some cool songs we like, and so I'm happy about that, too.
Yeah. If Nick Bird's happy,
Shoot.
We're all happy.
Then the world's happy.
And then the world's
happy. It's a good place.
That's right. A bumper sticker for you.
Now, Lauren, we just heard you do a cover, but you give it your own style, your own treatment. Now, you are very successful in a cover band, and it's a high-end cover band. It's a band that plays corporations and festivals and big leagues, not so much the club scene.
Right.
So why now is a good time for you to do your... You're probably making... Well, I guess right now nobody's making a good buck with COVID, but I imagine you're probably pretty successful financially, booking-wise, everything with this band because you guys are one of the top ones in Chicago. So how do... why is this a good time for you to do an original project?
Well, it wasn't just COVID that sort of made me realize, you know, now I do have the ample time to focus on that. It was somewhat, but I have a lot of friends within that company.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie Celeste and Nicole Garza. I don't think there's
both
anyone,
local bass guys,
yes,
and gals.
And they are some of my favorite songwriters too. I've heard their original stuff and I love their material. I sing in Robbie's originals band, but they're also really encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you've got, and also my stage partner. Oh my gosh, you should hear my stage partner, Taylor Mallory. He's a looping artist, so he makes his songs on the spot. But all of them have been really encouraging me to, you know, step out and do my own thing. And so it's really been that push,
okay,
from friends.
Well, I got to say, I've been saying that to Robbie. I mean, he put a couple of local CDs out of his own years ago, and mm-hmm. I kept saying, when are you going to do another one? When are you going to do another one?
Yeah.
He's so gifted,
yeah,
as a writer, as a performer, but you can't knock success. And the fact that you're performing, and
yeah,
that's the first love, is
yeah,
being in front of people. And if you're doing songs that make people happy, then in my eyes, you're a success, whether you're doing someone else's
yeah,
or not.
I don't look at how much money I'm making on a gig. That mm-hmm. has very little to do with, and anyone who's in it for like, you can kind of tell when someone's in it for that, for
right,
the love of it. And my prayer before I get behind any mic is I want to make everyone feel better leaving than the way they came.
Okay.
That is my ministry. That is my profession. That's my career. That's my passion.
That's most important. I agree.
So it's, I was.
I think you guys both succeeded at that.
Like, yeah, like, why don't I see what happens with my message, with like what was rolling around up
okay,
here and in my heart, and see what happens.
All right. So what is the game plan now? I mean, are you back to performing with the other band? Are you able, I mean, you played the other day, mm-hmm. and I know you've done some outdoor shows.
Yeah.
So is it loosening up for you guys to go back to work? Are you seeing that?
It looked like maybe it was beginning, but it's, you know, with COVID numbers rising again.
Right.
A
little leery
people
again.
People are, yeah, business owners, clients are a bit cautious. Actually, the Saturday that I was in the record bin
mm-hmm.
in your store, I made a joke of the reason I was there with moto boots and a ball gown was because I had to find a way to make my ball gown casual because I ran and did a wedding.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's I'm very fortunate that the Magnificent Events, the Maggie Speaks umbrella still... Dave Calzaretta still finds a way to make sure his people are still working.
And that's a good thing. And what is the name of the band that you're in?
Spoken For.
Spoken For.
Spelled
and that is
like F-O-U-R.
Is it a four-piece?
It's a five-piece.
It's a five-piece. Spoken Five.
It's well, it, I don't know why I said it. You know what? I've joked with somebody. I was like, you know, all you'd have to do is drop the U and...
There you go.
We get kids that come up to us all the time like... But there's five of you.
So that is still going strong. And again, that's a spinoff of Maggie Speaks. And
yes,
I think everyone in Chicagoland knows
Maggie Speaks
is like the ultimate
yeah,
cover party wedding band.
Yeah.
You guys do everything. Do you do everything in Spoken For as well?
Yes.
So it's all across the board? Male,
yes,
female, full band?
Mm-hmm. And with that, you can get like a core band experience with just the five members.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get it as big as... 13 to 15 piece band with horns,
wow,
and strings and keys, extra singers. We've done some of everything. It goes international. We're all over the continental U.S. and you know, pre-COVID, but I miss it so much because it's just talk about so much fun. My stage partner Taylor Mallory,
mm-hmm.
the wedding we did, we were just talking about like how much we missed just that fun. you know, being on stage with what feels like your family, because you spend a huge chunk of time
right.
with your band, and it really does. It feels like family. And
wow. Let's play the recording, and we'll get to that here. And again, this is a song called Same Things. Is this one of those that goes back 6-7 years?
Yes, it's not exactly called Same. Okay, Andy Sutton calls it Same Things.
Okay.
I originally titled it Hectic Love Week. He started calling it Same Things. I was like, okay, it might stick. But if we call it that, then you have to say it like Same Things.
Same Things.
Same Things.
This is a song. I was looping this on the way over here. I recorded it, and I had just the song on the CD. And the whole trip over here, I was listening over and over and over. And it's a song that I think everybody at some point in their life will relate to. It's a song about a relationship that is, I don't want to say toxic, but sometimes toxic, sometimes heaven.
Yeah, just that on it, though. Everyone either knows that on again, off again couple, or they are that on again, off again couple.
Right.
And the inspiration was the band that I formed, that I helped form like 6-7 years ago, was called Eclectic Soul. And we did, you know, like a lot of funk and soul. And the drummer of that band, a friend, dear friend, Alex Treemstra, what's up? At that time, he was dating someone that was, let's say, not that stable. He had a proclivity to interact with...
I think I dated that girl once.
with the crazy.
I thought the song was about Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
But one day, I said, oh my gosh, you guys... break up on one day, then you make up the next day. Y'all together on Monday and not to. Oh.
There's a song in there.
Yeah, so that's how it became Hectic Love Week. And I said, well, she's going to know what this is about. And
all right. Call it what you will.
Same things.
Same things.
Or Hectic Love Week.
Or Hectic Love Week. This
we'll
is it. This
we'll
is, again, this is an early, rough demo that they feel is strong enough to debut. So we're going to do it because that's what we do here at Lakeshore. This is Same Things.
Expecting things to change. Does that mean we're insane? We part our ways, then come back for some more. His good love's what I blame. As we stare into each other's eyes, room lit dimly by candlelight, saying and doing things that lovers do. Sip on the champagne without provocation. Something's changed. Oh no, we're at each other's throats again. I still can't figure it out. Just who got cussed out? You flipped out, I got kicked out. And that's all the neighbors seem to talk about. I still can't wrap my mind around the fact of how quickly with one sorry. And please, baby, you're in my bed again. On Monday, we break up. On Tuesday, you call me to make up. By Wednesday, we're fed up. But Thursday, we try not to give up. On the weekend, we get messed up. We rediscover our love. By Sunday, we're set up to repeat a hectic love week. Over and over and over again. Try. I don't know why I love your crazy eyes. Without all the fuss and inviting, our days goes by. At least that's what they tell me. We do same things. Break up just to break up, yeah.
out, and that's all the neighbors seem to talk about. I still can't wrap my mind around the fact of how quickly when one saw me, and please, baby, you ring my bed again. And on Monday, we break up. On Tuesday, you call me to make up. By Wednesday, we fed up. But Thursday, we try not to give up. On the weekend, we get messed up.
Sometimes you do the same fangs. Those same fangs that keep haunting your life. And all right, raise your hand if you can relate to that song. Oh, not you. You're driving. So the rest of you. Raise your hands and in the air like you just don't care, because I think we all can relate to that.
That head nod, that mm-hmm will suffice.
Yep, exactly. I love that. Have you had a relationship like that?
No,
I think she's lying.
Because you wrote that kind of, I mean, you're the lyricist, and you wrote that like you were feeling that.
Oh, man.
She was like, it was about my neighbor.
It was about my drummer's girlfriend. But really? I think it was a little part of Lauren in there.
There's something to it.
I plead the fifth.
Well, we've been talking about how some of these songs are older songs from 6-7 years ago. Are you still writing lyrics now?
Yes.
I mean, when are we going to catch up?
Oh,
you got a lot of lyrics
gosh,
in there.
Gosh, yes. I think every songwriter can also attest to this. We all have that notebook mm-hmm. of like just one-liners. They're like, oh, I like that line. And write it down. And like, I'm going to put this in a song one day. So, yeah, I'm constantly writing. And occasionally when I'm coming back from a gig, there are a few Facebook posts mm-hmm. where I used to call them post-gig car riding sessions.
Okay.
Because my memory is terrible. So I would have to record it on the spot when something would come to mind.
Okay.
And then I look back and like, oh, let me write that down. So, yeah, I'm still writing. And then now that you mentioned that full-size albums do better on vinyl, I'm like, crap, I got to break out that book.
You and Nick need to do some woodshed in there. So, Nick, tell us a little bit about your solo album. We'll have you back also when it's ready to go. And Lauren guested on that, and you get right? Is that right?
Yeah, let's see them. Yeah.
All right, so tell me a little bit about what and when we can expect something from you.
For me, I have such a catalog from when I was in high school, this stuff that I haven't put on anything. So it's crazy. All the bands I've ever been involved with have been heavy gigging mm-hmm. through my life, and nobody's been a heavy recording mm-hmm. band. So, you know, and it's nobody's fault. It's just how things worked out, you know.
Right. And, it happens in bands.
Right. So in the last so many years, I've gotten to, for the first of my life, really get into studios and been doing some stuff in Nashville with country artists and gotten, you know, and then friends and then a lot of Christian singer-songwriter kind of things and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So what I'm getting at is that I have always put myself on the back burner because and I don't know what I like. Everybody was like, what kind of music do you like? I don't know.
Everything.
And
everything.
I like a little bit of everything.
Good music.
I love good music. I think, yeah, that's right. Whether Miles Davis or Duke Ellington, whoever said, there's two kinds of music, good and bad. And I go with that. Yeah. I'll leave that too. Yeah, but I like to be from the rest of my life, try to do things that kind of knock me out of the box a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, of my own personal one, you know, because I think that's what has to happen, you know, especially, you know, not a famous person. So why you have nothing to hold on to, why not be free?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And even if you're famous.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
look at Bob Dylan. Look at Joni Mitchell. Look at them. They reinvent everything.
That was the person that inspired me to think that way. She said, nobody's going to like it when you change.
Right.
And I could see that for almost any artist.
Right.
Because I go, why are they not playing this way, or why are they not doing this way?
Yeah. Even if it happens. People are programmed to want the same thing all the time.
Right.
They want McDonald's hamburger to taste the same no matter where in the world they go.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want Nick Bird to sound the same when they put his CD on. They want Lauren to sound the same when they want to hear her CD.
Never.
Yeah. But you know what? We ain't going to do that.
It's all right.
Nothing about the same thing that we're going to do.
Yeah. Uh-uh. Well, we'll make a Big Mac again.
There we go. Jose, how much time we got? We have 5 minutes. You want to do a song? Is there any, before we do the song, to say goodbye, is there anything we haven't touched on or any people you want to give shout-outs to or any websites or dates coming up?
Well, yeah, what with the Region Ale?
Yeah, what is Region Ale? Andy, this is why Andy
I don't post anything.
He's the Don King of this operation.
I just go run outside and don't tell nobody if I'm running or not.
We will be at Region Ale. On November 21st, that's a Saturday, starting at 8:15.
Okay.
So you can check us out there. We'll be doing some of the originals. We'll also do some really funky covers and put our spin on a bunch of different things because we're...
Well, we should say hey to our kids. That's what's up.
Our
family.
Yeah. All right. My baby boy, Brian, his birthday is this Saturday. So
how old?
He'll be turning 8.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big age.
Yes.
I got 3 boys. So I say hey to them. That's what's, my mother.
Hey.
Yeah.
My best, that's the best person. Yeah.
G-Bird.
All about family.
G-Bird.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got about 4 minutes now. Let's play something. What do you want to take us out with?
The singer who got it started for me, the songstress, Miss Anita Baker. Let's pray on this one.
Woo! All right. Yeah, we'll be good.
All right, you're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. This is Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. My guests have been Mr. Nick Bird and Ms. Lauren Dukes. And we're going to take you out with an Anita Baker song. Thanks for listening. Till next time, adios.
With all my heart, I love you, baby. Stay with me, and you will see my arms. We'll hold you, baby. Never leave, 'cause I believe I'm in love, sweet love. Have me calling out your name. I feel no shame. I'm in love, sweet love. Don't you ever go away. It'll always be this way. Your heart has called me closer to you. I will be all that you need. Just trust in what we're feeling. Never leave, 'cause baby, I believe I'm in love. Sweet love, have me calling out your name. I feel no shame, I'm in love. I believe I'm in love. It's- Baby,